Good Saturday morning, everyone. This is the Racine Raiders Coaches Show with Don Wadowitz, joined today by Racine Raiders head coach Gino Perfetto and also Racine Raiders defensive back Tracy Baskin joining us here in the WRJN studios. Gentlemen, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come in and talk Racine Raiders football.
Thanks for having us, man.
Big win this last week over the Lake Geneva Generals. Let's start off with the beginning of that game. Game did not start off very well. I know up in the booth I was a little bit nervous when you guys marched down the field. Joel Duprat, who's normally been this year very reliable, just misses a 30-yard field goal. The Lake Geneva Generals just get bunches of yards as they go down the other way. And for maybe the first time this season, I think the opposing team took a lead on the Raiders 3-0, Coach.
Well, the encouraging thing was we did march down the field, which was nice. We didn't capitalize on that, unfortunately. But I think they came down. They did a good job on us, but our defense did another nice job in the red zone. We held them to 3 points. So we started a little shaky, and we've done that in the past where we come out a little shaky, but we seem to mend the fences and get it done. So that's good.
You guys go back down the field, march down the field. Torres Childs looks like he's going to hit a big hole, and then all of a sudden a Lake Geneva General just steps in there and just really lights him up. The ball comes loose. Lake Geneva recovers. At that point in time, Tracy, on defense, are you sitting there kind of thinking the defense is going to have to carry the load this week? The offense might have a hard time getting this on track?
No, I think years past maybe, but this year it's a different feel. Anytime a mistake happens, we just go back out in the field and do our job. That's number one in our books. I mean, first couple weeks, you know, getting it all gelled together, and now coming down the home stretch, we've been putting it together nicely, and things like that don't bother us at all, not in the least bit.
Coach, for you,
they bother the heck out of me, yes.
Two miscues on offense, or one on offense, one on special teams, you know, they go down the field on your defense. Do you regroup the guys at that point in time and say, hey, it's early on, we need to just play Raider football at this point?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what we do. I mean, you know, we're a confident bunch, and we know there's going to be, like, you know, ebbs and tides in the game. It's going to be up and down the roller coaster ride. Not everything's going to go perfect. We talk about composure every week, keeping our composure and just keeping moving along, and that's I thought we did a good job of that Saturday.
Now, you guys may have known it was a little bit of a surprise to me as I had asked for the starters from the Generals and was told it would be David Byerly at quarterback. Were you expecting to see DJ Brown in there and the different element that he brings to the game, maybe a little bit quicker than Byerly?
Yeah, I was. I think on film they had, I'm not sure if it was DJ or not on film, but the last film we watched, it certainly wasn't the quarterback they had, so it was a different look.
Now, Ardre Jarrett, I think he had the guy's shoestrings about five times on the first couple of drives, and just being a left-handed quarterback, he was able to run away from Jarrett to kind of his natural side. Did you guys do anything to kind of adjust for that? Because it seemed like he started to get a little bit better contained and bring pressure from both sides later
on.
Well,
Coach Kennedy made a nice adjustment. Wilbur noticed that we were coming kind of a little more inside on that side, and he knew he was left-handed, so he told Dre, step outside, make sure you make it more of an outward move. And when he made that adjustment, we kind of kept him a little more into the pocket. So it was a nice adjustment by Coach Kennedy.
Well, let's take a look at the scoring from the game, go through a scoring recap for you here. The Generals, as we said, were the first to get on the board with 5:07 to play in the first quarter. It was a Jordan Brown 30-yard field goal. It capped a 9-play, 67-yard drive that took up just over 5 minutes. Generals led 3-0. The Raiders' first score came in the second quarter with 12:44 to play. It was Torres Childs on this touchdown run.
The Raiders come out of the timeout, a second and goal from the 10, I should say. Ball at right at the 10-yard line of the Generals. Three receivers off to the right. Childs the only back in the backfield. The handoff goes to Childs, a big hole. Torres Childs into the end zone. Touchdown, Raiders. And Childs goes and hugs the goalpost and slides down it. And the Raiders take a 6-3 lead with 12:44 to play in the first half.
That capped a 4-play, 58-yard drive that took up just over 2 minutes, Coach. And Torres Childs with a good, powerful run on that play. And just the extra element he's brought to be able to have that second type of back that's maybe a little bit shiftier than J.R. Taylor.
Torres has got a great burst, I'm telling you. He's like from 0 to 60 in about 2 seconds. So he does bring a nice adjustment to us. J.R. is really shifty back there. You know, he's got some really nice moves. But Torres, I think, just has a little quicker burst, so it is a nice 1-2 punch.
The Raiders got on the board again with just 36 seconds to play. It looked a little bit like the Generals might pull off that getting an extra drive in the game where they got a drive towards the end of the first half, and then they were going to get the ball to start off the second half, which when you defer as a coach, I'm assuming that's what you're kind of hoping for.
Yeah, you know, and I told our offense, you know, they deferred to us. You know, I says, you better take that as a little bit of an insult. We're leading the league in offense, and they want to give us a football. So that's something we better think about.
So, but the Raiders ended up getting the last drive of that first half with 36 seconds left to play. It was J.R. Taylor catching a pass from Craig McClelland.
Palmer and D'Elia to the right, Worthington and Norwood to the left. Shotgun formation for McClelland. Takes the snap, looking to pass. Taylor goes out. Taylor open. Touchdown. J.R. Taylor, middle of the end zone. And the Raiders lead 13-3 with 36 seconds to play. J.R. Taylor's first receiving touchdown of the season.
The Joel Duprat kick was good. It capped a four-play, 37-yard drive that took up 24 seconds, gave the Raiders a 14-3 lead. And J.R. Taylor's become a big part of the passing game this year, Coach, and this was the first time that he ended up getting into the end zone off of a pass.
Yeah, he's really a nice addition out of the backfield for us. I mean, teams kind of focus on him more running, but if we slip him out there, he's got great hands. And you get him in the open field, I tell you, for an old guy, he runs pretty good.
Well, and if you get him in the open field 10 yards downfield, I feel bad for those DBs and safeties that
punishing.
Have to try and bring him down.
He's very punishing, exactly.
So nobody scored in the third quarter. That brings us to the fourth quarter with the Raiders leading 14-3 with 11:38 to play in the game. You guys backed the Lake Geneva Generals up. They did a good job of helping back themselves up too. And then it was this punt attempt that garnered you 2 points.
It's going to bring up fourth down and 20, and now the thing is, you're snapping from the six-yard line. Your punter, Jordan Brown, is his feet, his heels are going to be near that back line of the end zone, and that ball is getting wet out there. And interesting, wow. Jordan Brown just takes the snap and runs out of the back of the end zone. The Generals are going to give the Raiders 2 points and take a free kick. So the Raiders lead 16-3, and it'll be a free kick from the 20-yard line by the Generals.
So that safety, it really seemed like that was the Generals. I think the Raiders took it, and maybe, Tracy, you can talk about this from a player's point of view. You guys took that as a real slap in the face.
Anytime you give us points, it's like, we feel like you really didn't have to do that because we're gonna get our points regardless. One way or another, we're going to get points. And for you to give it to us is kind of like we don't need your pity points. You know what I mean? Just because your heels are in the back of the end zone, kick it, play football, you know, don't give us points. Kind of disrespectful.
So would you say that inspired you guys? Because it really seemed like the offense started to click even more and just had even more determination.
It probably did inspire us to a certain extent. We just thought it was stupid. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, what are you doing? Why are you giving us points? You know, you got three, we have whatever we had at that point. You know, we don't need points, you know.
From a coaching point of view, if you're put in that similar situation, your team's down 14-3, you know, start of the fourth quarter, you're backed up. The other team has somebody like Demonche Pitt back there who just, I think, had returned one 35, 40 yards just a couple drives before. Are you considering that even, Coach Perfetto?
Well, I think, you know, I think they had a lot of confidence in their defense. I think they thought being that far back, if they get off an average punt, you know, we're going to get the ball well inside their territory. So perhaps they figure, okay, we'll keep it at a three-game score and rely on our defense. So, I mean, I'm assuming that was their strategy. And you got to do what you think is best at the time for your team. And that's what they did.
So it ended up giving the Raiders a 16-3 lead. The Raiders would score on the ensuing drive. They'd go on a four-play, 36-yard drive, taking up a minute and a half, and it would be J.R. Taylor using his legs to get into the end zone this time.
Nearing 10 minutes to play in the game. Palmer and D'Elia to the left. D'Elia slot left. Offset I formation backfield. The deep back is Taylor. Handoff goes to Taylor. Left side has a lane. Taylor inside the 20. On his feet and into the end zone. J.R. Taylor, 25-yard TD run, and he made Alex Shaven pay at the 5-yard line. Lowered his shoulder into the DB. And the Raiders lead 22-3 with 9:55 to play in the game.
The Joel DePraw extra point would be good on that, giving the Raiders a 23-3 lead. And on that replay, it was exactly what we're talking about, getting J.R. Taylor in open space. There was a DB back there, Alex Shaben, and he just lowered a shoulder and just plowed right over him.
J.R. is running with he's a man possessed right now, I'm telling you. He's got like a rejuvenation in him. He's running hard. He's playing hard. He's leading hard. He's a great young man to be around, and he's a great asset to our football team, no doubt about it.
Doing it through the air and on the ground, J.R. Taylor last week. He led the team both in rushing with 10 carries for 62 yards and in receiving with four receptions for 73 yards, rather. Then the Raiders got their final score of the game with 6:01 to play in the game. This time it was Craig McClelland talking about doing it through the air and on the ground. It was McClelland from 1 yard out.
So the Raiders look to go for it here on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. 6:15 to play in the game. They lead 23-3. Norwood to the left, D'Elia to the right. Childs and Baskin in the offset I formation backfield. McClelland takes a snap, goes forward, and Craig McClelland into the end zone for a touchdown from 1 yard out. The Raiders lead the Generals 29-3, 6:01 to play in the game, and we'll await the Joel DePraw extra point.
It was an 8-play, 46-yard drive that took up almost 4 minutes and gave the Raiders the 30-3 lead that ended up being the final score. Raiders improved to 10-1 overall, 8-0 in the MSFL, and advanced to the Western Conference Championship. That game tonight against the Roscoe Rush, and we will talk to head coach Gino Perfetto and defensive back Tracy Baskin about tonight's game a little bit more after this commercial break. You're listening to the Racine Raiders Coaches Show on News Talk 1400 WRJN.
News Talk 1400 WRJN.
Welcome back to the Racine Raiders Coaches Show. Don Wadowitz with head coach Gino Perfetto and defensive back Tracy Baskin. Want to remind you that the Coaches Show is brought to you by Victory Lane Full Service Car Wash and Detail Center. They put the full back into full service, located at 5310 Washington Avenue in Racine. Couple things before we move forward to the Roscoe Rush tonight that just want to point out is the Raiders with penalties this season. It's been a thorn in your side, but this last game, I don't think you guys had a penalty in the first half. Ended up finishing the game with 4 penalties for 45 yards. Looking at the first 5 games of the season, you're averaging 11.5 penalties a game for over 111 yards. And over the last 6 games now, averaging about 9 penalties a game for about 79 yards. So you're getting back 35 yards a game now with over the last 6. I'm sure your goal, obviously, is no penalties, no yards. You guys did that for a half. That's the first time you've done that all season.
Well, you know, it all evolves around the players. We get players to come to practice consistently, and when we come to practice consistently, we work better as a whole group and as a unit, and that stuff starts to gel. And when we gel, we can get rid of those little, you know, mistakes that we've been making, and we've been doing a much better job of it lately, and I'm real proud of the players for that effort.
Now, Tracy, Ricardo Williams, he had a fantastic game against the Raiders in the first game, couple of TD catches. The game against the Monona Warriors, think he had 4 TD catches in that game. Against the Raiders this last week, 4 catches for 21 yards. I believe you had 4 unassisted tackles, and I believe they were all against Ricardo Williams. So on his 4 receptions, you brought him down right away, an average of 5.25 yards a tackle. So just a tremendous job by you. What did you do to be able to just stop him this time around?
I don't know. I think I just had a clear head for once. Just play my position. It's been 9 years I've been playing defensive back for the Raiders, and I learned a lot. And when you get against a guy of that caliber, both of those receivers are really good on that team, but when you get against a guy his caliber, that's the only thing you got to worry about that day. And like what happened Saturday, I pretty much shut him down. No touchdowns. I mean, they didn't score at all on defense. But one thing that we myself and David Earl talked about was no touchdowns. No touchdowns, no touchdowns. I mean, you can catch in front of us, we'll tackle you, but you won't get in the end zone, and we accomplished that goal.
Now for you, you've kind of flipped around from safety back to corner. What kind of transition is that for you as you've been kind of flipping around, helping to fill some holes with some injuries and such?
It's a bit it's difficult at times. I mean, especially depending on what offense you're going against. If you're going against a spread offense and I'm at safety, well, it's no different than corner. I usually have the man one-on-one. But, you know, different zones, looking for different things, reading the linemen at safety. You have to be pretty quick in your head to do that. And me playing corner, I never have to look at a line. I'm
what
looking at one guy.
Corner, safety.
Corner for sure. You got one job to do, and that's, you know, defend against the pass. I mean, more than one job, come up on the run, things like that. But that's my main goal, is to just shut down the receiver. I'd rather do that during a game than have 11 people to worry about.
Now, the defensive line, they've obviously been doing a tremendous job, and the linebackers getting to the quarterback. But when a pocket breaks down like that and you have a guy who can scramble that's on the run, what does that do to you as a defensive back or a safety, whether you're playing corner or safety? What are you looking for? What are you thinking about as that's taking place?
I think an old man, as soon as that happens. Usually the play is going to be a long play. He could cut back. I mean, we played the Des Moines Blaze earlier this year, and that, I don't remember, about probably like a 12-second play. He ran one sideline all the way back to the other. And you just have to keep your eyes on that receiver, whatever he does. You try to put the receiver in between you and the quarterback, just so you can see where both of them are going. If you can't do that, just keep your eyes on the receiver and at least tackle him. I mean, there's so many times that receivers get to break away, you know, from you, and they catch a long pass for a touchdown usually, you know, especially broken plays like that. We played some quarterbacks, especially last week. The guy didn't have a weak arm. It wasn't very accurate, but I think the first catch of the game was against me on the sideline, a broken play to the sideline. He just threw it right to way away from me, you know, where he positioned his body where I couldn't make a play on the ball. But sometimes it happens. I usually think old man initially, but, you know, do the best I can.
Is there anything that you can do in the defensive backfield when you're at corner that you can communicate with the safeties? Or are you guys hoping at this point in time that you're just on the same page and that, you know, Torrey or Brandon, whoever might be back there, is seeing what's going on and that they're going to be there to kind of help you out?
Oh, yeah. We have hand signs or we have call signs sometimes, but we're to the point where we'll just say what we're going to do at this point. You know, it's up to the offense to beat us. We'll let you know what we're going to do. I mean, every team that's played the Raiders over the past 20 years know what we're going to do. We're going to man up and we're going to blitz. That's pretty much it. So I'll tell them, hey, this is what we got to do right now. You scoot over, come here, help out. I'm pushing them in, whatever we got to do, and beat us.
Now, defensive backs are going to have their hands full a little bit tonight. The Roscoe Rush, they bring three very quality receivers into the mix, and Justin Apengo, which I think anybody familiar with semi-pro football over the last several years are familiar with the name Justin Apengo, but they also have Dan Carter, and then the guy that really burned the Raiders in the first game, Charles Chapman. He had five catches for 166 yards. He caught a long one, a 72-yarder from Joe Cotton in that first game. Three quality wide receivers out there for you guys to have to defend against. You know, what have you been working on this week in practice, or what are you talking about as a defensive backfield on how you're going to kind of diminish what these guys can do out there?
We keep it simple. I mean, it's been the same goal the whole year, just defend them. You know, everybody has different tendencies and stuff, and we'll discuss that. But as far as changing anything up, it's been working. So if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it. You know, have that attitude towards it. Yeah, that long pass you mentioned was against me, and I talked to him after the game, and I bit on a slant. He ran a slant, and then when he saw me cross his face, he cut upfield. It was designed to be a slant, but I was a little over-aggressive, and he went right upfield. They're smart, and that just tells you they're smart. They've been working together. They know what they're doing. You know, they're three really, really good receivers. And if you ask me, Chapman, that's the one that caught that long pass. He's the best one to me. I mean, Apengo, he's a good short yardage receiver. He's not going to beat any of us deep. He's a good short yardage receiver. He can run up and down the field, you know, just throwing little hitches and stuff. But
this seems like a skipping rocks moment for right here, Coach, with the Badgers comment about Nebraska. Huh?
Keep it simple, Tracy, okay?
Right. But, yeah, they're all quality receivers, and we're just going to, you know, cover them like we've been covering everybody all year.
Now, Joe Cotton, the last time, was their quarterback because Jason Hufford couldn't make it. You guys sacked, got to Cotton, the more scrambling-style quarterback, 8 times for 8 sacks in that game. Hufford, quick release, pocket passer, very much a Craig McClellan type. I mean, you even look at their numbers this year, and their numbers are very similar, although McClellan will take off and run when things break down, I think, a little bit more. But, you know, how do you go into it? It's your second time seeing them. You maybe prepared for Hufford the first time, not knowing that Cotton would be their quarterback. But now you're seeing him a second time, and it's going to be with Hufford at quarterback. How do you prepare for that different style?
Well, you know, it all comes down to everything up front, in my opinion. You know, I mean, if we can control the line of scrimmage up front, we'll be okay. The key is also we can't give up big plays. I mean, if they're going to score, we got to make them earn it. You know, we got to make them march down the field and earn it. And if we can do those two things, I think we'll be okay. Yeah, he's a little different. He gets rid of the ball extremely quickly on film. I watched him on film this week, and I'll tell you, it's going to be hard to get to a kid like that. You know, it's hard to get sack a kid that stays there, and as soon as he knows where he's going, gets his pre-snap read, and boom, the ball's gone. But then we got to come up. We got to make plays. We got to tackle if they catch the ball. And again, we got to keep them in front of us and not give up big plays.
Now, we were just talking about, Tracy, how you deal with a scrambling quarterback or when a play breaks down, a quarterback that gets out of the pocket as a defensive back out there. How do you deal with a guy who, once he hits that third or fifth step, that ball's going to be out of there?
You read them. I mean, you can sit there a little farther off of the receiver and just read the quarterback at that moment. If it's a three-step drop, you know it's going to be something quick. If he goes past three, it's a five-step drop, and it's going to be either a longer route, intermediate route, or something like that. So you want to get in the back pedal, keep your eyes on the man at that point after the third step, and do what you can. That's a lot harder than a scrambling quarterback as a real quick release like that. You know, ask anybody that played against Dan Marino, I'm sure they'd say so. You know, it's out. You don't even see it. You don't even, the receiver doesn't even break before he throws the ball, and there it is. You know, it's a good thing to have a quick release, and we'll do fine tonight against it, though.
Now, the rush, when I look at the teams, you look at the stats, you look at a little bit of what we saw the first time, and it seems that they're very much the Racine Raiders and the Roscoe Rush. You could kind of they complement each other well. Does that make it easy for you or easier in practice to be able to prepare for a team that is kind of the same sort of offense in some ways as yourself?
Yeah, I guess I won't say easier, but just, you know, when you only got 2 days of practice, it's a lot. You don't have to get outside of your box, your comfort zone so much, you know, and work on this, work on that. So it does help. You know, but I like, you know, I want to remind everybody, these guys are 2-time defending league champs, and they're not that way by accident. So they're a good football team. We're not taking them lightly. I'm not going to allow my players to take anybody lightly. So it's going to be a good football game.
You talked about that a little bit with Tom in last week's coach's show, I believe, where you know, people seem to think outside of the Raiders organization that the Raiders just kind of are taking teams for granted, that the Raiders are just going to roll over Team X, Team Y, Team Z, that it doesn't matter who you put out there. And I'm sure as a player and as a coach, you like to have that feeling, but there's a lot of hard work and preparation that goes into that.
Exactly. I mean, we work hard at practice. We prepare hard at practice. Preparation is the key to success. So we try to stay in that process and work with that process as much as we can. Are we confident? Well, sure, we're confident. Just like every other team coming in. No team comes in here thinking that they're going to lose to us. They come in here thinking they're going to beat us. So they're confident as well. But we are a hard-working team. We don't take anybody lightly, and I don't want anybody thinking that we take anybody lightly. We know what's on the line.
Coach, for the halftime show during the broadcast tonight, I had a chance to talk to Damian McGee earlier this week in practice, somebody that you're very familiar with as he played at Racine Lutheran. And one of the things I asked him, and I'm interested in asking you to get your point of view on, is I asked him, you've worked with Coach Perfetto in the high school environment. Now you've worked with him in the minor league semi-pro environment. Is he a different coach? Are there certain things that are different? What would you say to that question? Are you a little bit different of a coach from the high school to the semi-pro level?
In certain aspects, I might be a little different, but to me,
other than language,
yes, exactly. It's all about teaching. You know, we're still teaching. And I told my staff when I brought them on, we're going to be teachers. It's about learning. It's about being fundamentally sound. It's about going out playing this game at the highest level we can play it at. So I think I'm a rah-rah type guy, you know. I mean, I get excited. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. But that's just the way I am. And I don't think I've really changed too much. I try to stay who I am because that's who I am. So whether it be good or whether it be bad, that's me.
At this level, though, your coaches have to have some expectation of the players of having certain levels of knowledge and understanding certain concepts and things, where you're talking about teaching, but maybe you don't have to teach as much and you can just get more into the game prep a little bit easier at this level?
I think you have to get into it a little quicker because, again, we're on that two-day schedule. You know, it's not like high school where you got – or college, you got them all week, you know. I mean, they're yours all week, so – you have to be a little quicker and you have to move on a little, you know, forward. But it's still football, you know. It's still the game. It's still about the X's and O's. It's still about blocking, tackling, all that kind of stuff you do. So you still have to teach it. You still have to stress the importance of it. So, you know, we're not reinventing the game at all. We're just trying to move along with it and do the best we can with it.
Now, the Roscoe Rush, they have another element. We've talked about their passing game, their quarterback, their receivers. They also have a darn good running back that you guys held in check in the first game, and DJ Spencer had 6 carries for 19 yards. The Roscoe seems to be very much a pass to set up the run with DJ, and they got behind 28-7 at the half and couldn't really get to that point. And obviously, that's why you want to jump out to big leads. You want to take one of those weapons away. You know, what do you focus on as far as DJ Spencer on being able to stop him?
Well, it's just basically playing our front guys are playing great right now. If our front guys can continue to play at the level they've been playing at all year, I think we'll be okay. I'm not saying the kid's not going to get some yards on us. I'm sure he'll do better than 19 yards. He's a good athlete, you know, and good athletes usually rise to the occasion. But if we can play at the level we're playing at and the intensity we're playing at, I'm confident that we can keep him in check.
Now, Tracy and Coach might yell at me for this question, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyhow because it does look ahead a little bit, only tonight, but it
looks
back as
well. Don't worry, I got the button to end this show right now.
As a player, in years past, you know, there's been talk if the Raiders would get to a certain point or whatnot, you know, that we'll have to address whether the team goes or can afford to go and such. How much does it mean to you that the board of directors made the commitment that said, you guys win this league? You guys win the championship, we'll figure it out for you.
It means a lot. I mean, that's a tough question because what means more to me is the fact that we're playing like we're playing. I mean, I haven't seen us play like this in a while, and that's just an added bonus that they made mention of that, you know. I'm personally trying not to look that far. I mean, because they already talked about it. I let them do that job, the coaches do their job, and I play. You know, that's what I'm trying to worry about. And when it comes, and that'll be great if it comes, you know. But we got to get past tonight and this team to even think about that. We have 2 more games before I can even think about that. But I am glad they're
good
backing
answer,
us up.
Tracy. You just redeemed yourself.
Thanks, Coach.
Buddy. Good job.
Thanks, Coach.
You are a good listener, buddy, at practice. I'm telling you.
Thank you. So, learn from the best.
So tonight, the Racine Raiders versus the Roscoe Rush at Historic Horlick Athletic Field at 7 p.m. It is the Western Conference Championship game of the Mid-States Football League. The winner will go on to play the Springfield Foxes or the Chicago Thunder in Joliet, Illinois, and that will occur next week, October 6th. So hopefully the Raiders will be in that game. You can get in free tonight, College ID. Also, if you dress up as an NFL referee, you can get in free tonight. And if you're a youth football player wearing a jersey and accompanied by a paid adult, you can get in free tonight as well. Let's pack Horlick, 7 o'clock
where
tonight.
Where you heard it first, News Talk 1400.
WRJN Racing Kenosha.